Danny Fenster is coming home. The 37-year-old American journalist has been imprisoned in Myanmar since May. Last week, the military regime governing Myanmar sentenced him to 11 years in prison. But former Ambassador Bill Richardson has negotiated Fenster's release, a release that surprised many. For the latest on Danny Fenster's release and what's happening in Myanmar, journalist Michael Sullivan joins us from Thailand. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I want to start by reading a brief statement from Danny Fenster's family. They say, "We're overjoyed that Danny has been released and is on his way home. We cannot wait to hold him in our arms." And then they want to express their gratitude to Ambassador Richardson and friends in the public who expressed support for Danny during these months when he was in, as you have called it, Michael, one of the most notorious prisons in Myanmar. Give us the backdrop to this. The military seized power in February. It did so in a coup. Not long after, it arrested Danny Fenster. Why?
For the same reason that it arrested a lot of other journalists. They just didn't like what he was doing. But there's a little question about what he was doing, because when he was arrested, he was the managing editor of Frontier Myanmar magazine. And before working for Frontier, he had worked for another outlet called Myanmar Now. And it's his work there that appears to have gotten him in trouble with the military. They didn't like some of the things written about them and decided to do something about it after the coup. But Danny Fenster had not been working for Myanmar Now for 7 months at the time of his arrest. So that was a little strange. But his name made it to the top of this list. And in May, about 3 months after the coup, he was arrested at the airport in Myanmar's biggest city, Yangon, just as he was about to board a plane back to the Detroit area to see his family. And then he was held in, yes, the infamous insane prison where they keep all the political dissidents ever since, basically.
So can you explain why the government would come down so hard on him, keeping him in prison, sentencing him to hard labor for years with the promise of more sentences to come, and then acquiesce to this American ambassador, Bill Richardson, when he put pressure on them? What does Myanmar's government have to gain in all of this?
Well, to answer the first question, I think if to go after an American journalist working in Myanmar, I think that sends a very clear message to the Burmese journalists who are working in Myanmar. And that message, as Phil Robertson, the Deputy Asia Director for Human Rights Watch, said last week, it is, if we can do this to someone else, if we can do this to a foreigner, think of what we can do to you. Did they acquiesce in allowing him to be freed? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what quid pro quo there was there. I don't know if there was any at all. But I'm sure that the military regime probably wants to have a little of the pressure that's put on them by the international community lessened a bit. But at the same time, they basically don't really care if that happens, because as long as Russia and as long as China keep supplying them with what they need and keep blocking any action at the United Nations to come up with any firmer sanctions against Myanmar, then they pretty much have what they need to keep on doing what they've been doing for the past several months since the coup and before that for decades when they were in power.
And what they're doing, you have spoken about before, it is basically, as you say, a scorched earth policy. What is the military government of Myanmar trying to do?
They want to make this resistance to the coup go away. They did not bank on this resistance being as strong and as widespread as it's been. They're really kind of spread out all over the country. Before, when they were fighting the ethnic minority groups on the fringes, that was just on the borders, right? But now they're finding themselves fighting their own citizens all over the country, even in the central heartland. And they're hard-pressed. They're stretched thin. They want this problem to go away right now. And I think that's why they've started this, what some analysts are saying is this recent new offensive in the north of the country, especially in Chin State, in the northwest of the country, where they've been going after towns with this scorched earth policy, which looks a lot like what they used against the Rohingya in 2017. Remember that, when 700,000 Rohingya had to flee across the border into neighboring Bangladesh? It's that same kind of tactic, because it's that kind of tactic that they've used before in the decades that they've been in power. But the difference this time, I think, is just that there's too many people who are actually actively opposing them.
Michael, bring in the case here of the Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi. Her party won more than 80% of the seats in a national election 1 year ago, but two of her party's members just received long prison sentences. The same may happen to her. What is she facing?
Oh, she's facing several charges of sedition, incitement, corruption, violating coronavirus restrictions. And if those aren't enough, they'll come up with more. The military very, very clearly wants to take Aung San Suu Kyi out of the political equation in the future in Myanmar. And they will do whatever it takes, whatever trumped up charges it takes to make this happen. There's no question that she's going down. The only question is, for how long? Will they actually convict her and send her to prison? I find that difficult to believe, but I find it completely believable that they just end up convicting her and then putting her under house arrest, as she was before for almost two decades, and they'll just leave her there like that. But her political career in Myanmar, as far as the military is concerned, is over.
That's reporter Michael Sullivan joining us from Thailand. Michael, thank you.
You're welcome.